3-6 right now. We can't look at, you know, okay, if so-and-so loses and we win, we just got to worry about us, because that's the bottom line. We're not winning right now. We gotta win some games. We can't worry about other teams losing and how where we are in the race. We got to worry about us winning.
Yeah, that's the voice of Ryan Kerrigan. Redskins, welcome back to 3-6. That's where they were last year after a loss to a one-win team. And also, welcome back to my podcast partner, Rob Woodfork, here alongside George Wallace. Welcome back, my man.
Did you miss me?
I did.
Really, it didn't go anywhere. I really wasn't gone. I was just not here when you...
Yeah, you were not here. And, you know, to our loyal listeners,
yes,
that's a huge
Well,
void.
That's what happens when you lose because, and you blow a lead on the road and, you know, drop to 1-7 team and drop to 3-6. So I just get upset and just don't show up.
So you're saying because the Redskins didn't show up in Minnesota, you weren't showing up on Friday?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'll buy that. Well, this is the Redskins season in review. And yes, we are going to peer backwards and look at the smoldering wreckage that has been the first 9 games of the season. Not exactly the midway point, but
it's
close enough.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. Actually, I saw a tweet yesterday. I think it was Mark Schlereth, a former Redskin.
Yes.
Posted a picture of a dumpster fire and basically said, hey, here's the NFC East.
That's right.
Because that's basically what it is.
5-5.
5-5 leads the way.
3-6.
And then 2-3-6 teams sharing the basement.
That's the problem. You keep saying, oh, this team's only a game and a half out of first place. That's fine. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Yeah.
If you can't go on the field and actually win games.
Right.
You can be a game and a half out with 3 to play, but you could be, you know, 3-10 at that point. You know what I mean? It's like
exactly. And that's the position that the Redskins are in right now.
See, now you get me all fired up. I just got here.
His coffee is actually still steaming, so yeah. I've already got him steaming now. Yeah, so the Redskins, 3-6 after 9 games, the exact same position they were in last year, ironically, facing Philly in the 10th game, just like last season. To me, that's about the extent of where the parallels are, because last year we saw them run off 7 in a row. I have zero confidence that they're going to be able to pull off such a feat this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, we were talking about it a lot today at Redskins Park, as if what were we saying last year at the time? Do we have any confidence then? Probably not.
No.
And after losing to Carolina, then they had the bye. Right. At least Carolina was, yes, they had a one-win team. They still had Cam Newton, somewhat of a defense. The other night, on the road, up 2 touchdowns, basically, playing Christian Ponder, and then Matt Cassel finishes it out. That, to me, is worse than the Carolina situation.
Right.
And, you know, this offense now scoring 27 points a game, 28 last week against the Chargers in the 30s. I mean, the offense is starting to come around. Griffin's starting to get there, but you're relying on the defense. Now, you shouldn't have to score 27 points in a game and worry about losing.
Yeah.
When you score in the 20s, 30s, you should win football games.
Exactly. And especially, like you said, against a Minnesota team that, I mean, you had Adrian Peterson, by his standards, shut down.
Yeah.
And he typically doesn't have huge days at the Redskins' expense. You had him down to 75 yards in that game on 20 carries. He did get in the end zone twice. My fantasy team thanks you. But you didn't let him run wild on you like he did against Dallas the previous week. So if you have already neutralized the biggest and probably the only threat on that Vikings offense, and you say, hey, we're going to make Christian Ponder beat us.
Great.
And then he beats
and
you.
He does.
That's a problem.
The first 2 quarters the other night were probably the best quarter offensive football that you've seen this year from this team, right?
Yeah, I think you could say that.
So, you know, I don't know. They haven't won 2 in a row yet. I don't see them. And look, 7-game winning streaks, that doesn't happen all the time. So you shouldn't expect to do it.
And furthermore, they shouldn't have to rely on it. Like we said a few weeks ago, the Redskins' easiest part of their schedule is long pass. You had Philadelphia week 1, a little element of surprise there, but you should have had enough to win that game. The Detroit Lions, you sort of had, they're starting to get good, but at the time, they were still sort of coming into their own. You know, on the road against Dallas, that's a team that's just as bad, maybe worse. You had a couple of games there that you should have had. You should have won. And certainly the Minnesota game is going to be one that's going to haunt them if they even stay within shouting distance. But now you're on the road against Philadelphia. You got San Francisco, who's going to be fighting mad, coming into your building the following Monday night. 2 games against the Giants. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, who have yet to lose. And Dallas again. So it's not looking real promising. I mean, there are a few winnable games on that schedule. But again, if you can't beat Minnesota, on a short week where they're missing like half their starters. I mean, where do you pick a winner?
They're 1-5 in the conference. 1-5.
Right, and so, that's another point there, yeah, is that last year they did well in conference and they, yes, did well in division, going 5-1 in the NFC East. This year, they're behind the eight ball. Even if they get to within shouting distance of a wild card spot or even the division,
then you go tiebreakers and you're losing all of them.
Tiebreakers, you're losing all of them.
Because the Cowboys right now are, what, 3-0 in the division?
Right.
And yes, you still have four division games left, but I could see them going out, playing well enough somehow, some way, and winning these games.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's the way this team is. But I also could see them very easily losing all of the games.
Right.
Very easily.
Right.
I mean, the special teams not playing well at all. I don't think they're getting better.
No, I'm not, if anything, they're going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching from how we watch it, but you know, the offense, okay, fine. The offense is going to get better. You know, you go back and look at the last few weeks, putting up 27, beating the Chargers with 30, 45 against the Bears. That's what you want to see. Like, that's perfect. That's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to stop somebody at some point,
yep,
and you have to contain somebody on special teams. So there is a lot riding on these next few weeks, and we said it before that the Chargers game, you know, the two games in 5 days with the Chargers and Vikings, that's going to tell you a lot about the season. And, you know, if anything, I would have expected the flip-flop of losing,
right,
the Chargers. Let's be honest. First and goal on the one, they should have lost that game.
Yeah.
But now in Philadelphia, who's getting better, Nick Foles is playing at a high level right
He's
now.
He's got a stranglehold on that starting
then
spot.
The Niners at one, and, you know, Monday Night Football, and this team could very easily be 3-8 just like that with the Giants come to town. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot going on here, and it's a lot going to have a lot of questions to be answered, especially if they go 5 or 6 wins. That's what I'm using, is 6-10. They go 6-10, then I think everything's in play at the end of the year as far as coaching staff, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
7-9, 8-8, and the offense still putting up 30s and 40s. Then I think maybe that, you know, you keep things the way they are and you talk about a year extension maybe for Shanahan, because that's going to come up to play too.
Yeah.
He's got a year left. Rarely do you see coaches coach as lame duck in the last year of their deal. So there's a lot going on here, and there's a lot to be said and what's going to happen these next few weeks.
Wow, so Shanahan's tenure in Washington comes down to essentially these last few games.
Yeah, very well could be. Because 5-11, 6-10, I don't think Dan Snyder keeps him around. I just don't see it.
And it's hard to justify keeping him around.
$7 million, that's the reason to keep him around.
Yeah, because you're basically right back where you were before RG3.
Yep.
And that's what the big difference is this year, is last year, they were able to get enough out of the defense towards the end of the season, and RG3 carried them. But RG3 right now is not in a situation where he can carry them because he's still trying to work himself back from being injured. And special teams took a huge step back. The defense hasn't progressed to the point where we feel like they should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get Brian Arakpo back, you think the pass rush is solved, but it really hasn't been. And if anything, it's
stagnated.
And
they're not getting turnovers. Not getting turnovers right now. Remember that last stretch, they were plus 10, I think it was, at the end of the year. So they're not getting that right now. You see this defense turning that around too right now? Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, it's hard to segue into actually rewarding some of these guys after what we've seen the first half of the season. But who's your offensive MVP?
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, I don't think there's even a close second.
Yeah. I mean, he's carried this team on offense right now. You see Jordan Reed emerging, yes. You see Griffin getting back to his form, and Alfred Morris, too. What's he with, 5 touchdowns?
Yeah,
Morris,
5 touchdowns, 825 yards. 5.2 yards per rush. He should be the MVP of the offense. They've drastically underutilized him, and we touched on that
a
bit last week. Garçon is on pace to actually break pretty much every franchise record in terms of single season receiving numbers, save for touchdowns. But his catches, he's well on pace for over 100 catches.
And Jordan Reed, we just talked about, hasn't played much, but I think his numbers will be there at the end, too. He keeps going the way he's going.
Oh, yeah, 44 catches, and he's only started a handful of games so far this season, already with 3 touchdowns. So, those are numbers that expect to balloon. What about on defense? Who's our MVP on D?
D'Angelo Hall. No question about that.
Yeah, 3 picks on the season.
And two of them he's taking back for touchdowns, I think,
right?
Yeah,
he scored. One of them was a fumble, I believe. So he does
the fumble pick. That's right, against Philly the first week of the year.
Right,
So he's taking one to the house. One fumble, one pick.
He's probably going to the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And actually, when I did the midseason review in the last week.
Where can we find that?
WTOP.com.
Good.
Search sports. I don't know. I don't think there's a search term for it, but it's in the sports section.
You can find it.
Put in my name. Put in sports. Either way. But in the midseason review, I actually put his name in the pile with honorable mentions for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he's had that strong a season.
He has. He's locked down top guys. Just look, Calvin Johnson. Look, just some of the guys he's had to face.
And limited their numbers at worst. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been burned like we've seen in
like
years
we've
past.
Seen the past, right.
He's really done a pretty good job this season. So I think
there are no special teams players so far, so don't even ask about special teams.
Nobody asks about special teams.
I'm just making sure you weren't going to.
Yeah, there's nothing special about special teams this season. So the second half outlook, I mean, we sort of talked about it a little bit, but I mean, 6-10, it looks like that's where they're headed for.
If you were to ask me right now, and you didn't ask me, but I'll tell you anyway, I think they're going to finish 3-4 over this somehow, and I get to go 6-10. I would love to see 7-9. I think right now 7-9 would be a huge success, 8-8 even better.
Yeah.
But I think 6-10, and then the season's is, you know, a failure.
I mean, the season's already a failure. I mean, we both projected them to go 11-5. They've already hit
why
six
you have
losses.
To keep, why you bring that up and tell everybody that now? We're just, you know,
I have it in print, so I can't dance
it's in
around
print,
it.
Right, they can find it if they want to, but
yeah, but yeah, we both had them 11-5 and winning the division, and they've already hit six losses. And
you're telling me we can't be right? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, we can't be right. We can't be right.
I didn't go to school for math, but you're telling me we can't be right.
We cannot be right.
All right, fine.
And the Redskins very wrong through the first nine games. We'll see how the next seven play out, and we will be back on Friday to talk about their next matchup as they head to Philadelphia. Oh, Philly. They really welcome the road team there, don't they?
Well, I've lost 10 straight at home.
Yeah.
But the Eagles have.
Aren't the Redskins sort of the opponent you want when you have a streak like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see if the streak lives or if the Redskins hand their division rivals another solid. Rob Woodfork here. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap on WTOP.com every Tuesday. George Wallace here all day, every day. He's our Redskins beat reporter. Talk to you guys on Friday.